do you realize how much work it is to be led by the Spirit for us? We have to turn things off so that we can be led by the Spirit. We have to literally turn things down or turn things off, because there are so many distractions, so many things getting in the way, so many priorities that we have that supersede God, that we have to literally turn things off in order to hear God. What would it be like to be led by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit leading us through our lives and experiencing that together? We're going to look a little bit at... We're going to do that today. We're going to, instead of somebody teaching, we're going to see where the Holy Spirit wants to go and leading us today. I say that, and I want to encourage you. Well, let's just do this right off the bat. Everybody, stand, please. And I want to activate you. I want to activate you to activate your voice. Everybody's got a voice, right? At least that's what it says there. Everyone has a voice. Everyone has a voice. So, Lord, I pray for and ask your Spirit to release us and release our voice today to be part of what you're doing in this room. Release our voice to participate with what you're doing in this room. If you're willing to do that, just lift your hands up before the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm ready for you. I'm ready to go where you want me to go, to do what you want me to do. Amen. Have a seat. What would it be like if we let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us? We're going to look at three sections of Scripture really quick just to prime the pump a bit. Because of the privilege and the authority God has given me, Paul writes, I give each of you this warning. And what that means in the Passion Translation, it means he's speaking to them a warning about their pride. Okay? So that's important. Don't think that you're better than you really are. Go ahead, give that a shot. Be honest in your evaluation of others, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. So we are a body, the body of Christ. He's the head, we are the body, and each of us has a function, a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. And in the Amplified, it says we are mutually dependent on one another. In verse 6, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Well. Not just stumbling and bumbling our way through life, but doing things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out. Activate your gift, it says in the Passion Translation. With as much faith as God has given you. Now, you don't prophesy out of your flesh, you prophesy out of faith. God gives us faith to prophesy. He gives us faith, and that enables us, it activates that gift in us so he can prophesy. If your gift is serving each other, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Again, in the Passion Translation, it says, may you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. So, when we gather together, there's something going on right now. There's something going on. The Spirit is in the room. The Spirit is active in the room, and anything could happen. Not because we're necessarily all that great or bold or strong or confident or, you know, spiritual, but because the Holy Spirit's actively moving in the room. You don't feel it. You can't see it most of the time. Sometimes we can see activity of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we can kind of feel what's going on, but most of the time we don't feel it. But the Spirit is actively involved in what's going on in this room. It talks about that in 1 Corinthians 12. A spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help each other. So the spiritual gift isn't given so that we can accomplish a goal. It's so we can help each other. There's a connection between the gifts God gives and our relationships with each other. The Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. Someone else disappears from the screen altogether. I'll go over here and preach to this side. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability, and there's a list here, and I'll show you the list in a minute. What I really want to focus on is verse 11. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes these gifts. It's not your gift. You don't own it. You don't, it's not yours. It's the Holy Spirit moving and activating things through you. Some of us can get, like, it would be really easy for, Dan. We'll pick on Dan. He's a worship leader. It'd be really easy to pigeonhole Dan and say that when we need a worship leader, we turn to Dan or Dwayne. When we need a teacher, we turn to, one of the teachers in the body. When we need prophecy, we turn to one of the prophetic people. When we need to pray, we turn to somebody who's good at prayer. But you can get really pigeonholed into that whole thing and think that that's just their responsibility. That's them. That's what God's called them to do. Well, the reality is he's in our midst moving and administrating the gifts all the time. And at any given moment, one of you could prophesy. At any given moment, one of you can get up and teach. And in the first century church, it really operated much like that. There, it was less structured, less predictable, and more led by the Spirit. And you know why? Why do you think it was more led by the Spirit then? Pretend like you're in the South. Talk back to me. Yeah. What else? More. Feed me. Why was it that way?
Wasn't as loud?
Okay. Wasn't mic driven? Oh, the loudness of the world, yeah. Didn't know what to do. What else? Why? Why did they have to depend on the Holy Spirit? They didn't have anything. All they had was what? What did they have to work with? What about each other? What did they have to work with? What was going on during that time? Persecuted? They had to hide all the time. All they had really was the stories of Jesus. They had the gospel message, which is the good news that Jesus rose from the dead. That's what they had to work with. So they had the Old Testament scrolls, but the rabbis really hoarded that part of the whole thing. I mean, when Jesus walked in to the synagogue and asked for Isaiah when he preached that first message, that was extraordinary. And that probably irritated some people and probably thrilled some other people. But what he did was out of the norm. That was something that the teachers were, the scribes and Pharisees were more attuned to doing, is grabbing the scrolls and interpreting them. But it says, it's the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So he is doing that right now. He's in the room, and he has influence over where we go next. Now, I can override that by just saying, by my will, saying this is where we're going. And to be honest with you, that's what we do almost every Sunday, is somebody with a mic overrides what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And, you can pick on the people who lead and wonder why leaders do that and think it should be a different way, but you be in charge for a while and see how easy it is. You think it's, just follow the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I'll give you a month. You can lead for a while. And you try that for yourself and see how it works. It takes a tremendous amount of trust, tremendous amount of faith, and a tremendous amount of pastoral care, because you care about people. We'll look at a lot of, anyway, the Holy Spirit has these are the gifts that Paul talks about in Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, and Peter. Peter writes there. He talks about these nine gifts. I want to say that I don't think this is all the spiritual gifts. I just think these are the ones in the Bible. I think the Holy Spirit, it'd be weird to think that we could limit the Holy Spirit to these nine things. Okay, Holy Spirit, you can only do this. What else might he do that would be a spiritual gift, Lisa? What else could he do besides this stuff? Which would be, what would be outside the box for us, What could he do?
Ask him. He raised his hand.
Who? David? And I don't think he's really interested in that. I think he's more interested in us. What would he want to do with us?
I think he really is. I think he's really interested in church government and how people run their churches and how we empower people and how they step in, you know, and how those leaders are selected. I think he's very, very involved in that.
Oh, yeah, he's involved in that. Yeah. But I mean, like right now. What might he do that was out of the box? Serving people. Yeah, outside. That's really not up there, is it? Yeah, not that way. What else? It is in the list that we just read. What else could he do? What? Now, I wasn't here last week, but I heard that Mike and Renee Greeley were here, and all of a sudden, spontaneous worship broke out. Did anybody think that was cool? I didn't. I just heard about it. I thought it was cool. That worship would just break out without a band, without a mic, without a segment, a slotted worship set. That worship just, that's pretty cool. Would you think maybe that might have been the Holy Spirit's leading? Yeah. So I think there's a lot of things we can do, a lot of things that can happen that are being led by the Holy Spirit. Let's just stick. So, you know, I don't really want to talk about all these gifts. These are the kinds of things that the Holy Spirit does. He equips people to do stuff. Now, he could equip you, you notice that it says healing. Like, let's just take that for instance. There are times when God wants to heal. That doesn't mean that there's a prayer time for healing. That means that there's a time when God wants to heal. So he'll give words of knowledge to people, like, I'll have a sore knee, and I don't have a sore knee, so maybe that's a word of knowledge that God wants to heal people whose knee is sore on their right side. And then we say, does anybody have a sore right knee? Anybody in the room? It's your left? Well, just turn around. It'll be your right then. Dean, you have a sore knee? You have a sore hip? So it could be that the Lord was pointing. I mean, even this is just a demonstration, but we could just lay hands on these people and say, be healed in Jesus' name. Now, we wouldn't pray for healing for them. We would say, Lord, I agree with the healing that's going on in them right now, and they would be healed. But what we do is we think that sign is an indicator that we should pray for these people. Well, it is, but it's more like the Holy Spirit is pointing to these people saying, God is healing this person right now. I mean, Dean, your hip might be healed right now. You may not even realize it, but you may start moving and realize the pain's all gone because of that word of knowledge and saying that healing is happening right now. Or, Lori, the same thing. Your left knee might be healed right now because God wants to heal you. You see, it's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in the room. It's not necessarily, oh, it's time for healing prayer. It's the word of knowledge is saying that the Holy Spirit is doing that right now. And the same thing happens with prophecy, with wisdom. I mean, how many of you would like to have wisdom, boom, given to you right now so that somebody has a difficult situation you're in and you just speak into that difficult situation with wisdom and knowledge and you open the door for them to go forward?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want that. I want to live there. So, what is this? I forget what this is. Oh, this is being led by the Spirit. I love this. For all who are led by the Spirit are children of God. Let all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. That's remarkable. Did you know that was in the Bible? All that are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Why? Why would Paul say that? What about being led by the Spirit would make you children? He must think he has influence. He must think that the Holy Spirit must believe that his role is to support what the Father wants done and support what Jesus has opened the door for. So Jesus opened the door. The Father wants things to happen in this room today. And the Holy Spirit is committed to equipping people to get that stuff done, right? And you guys are in the room. And it's not necessarily supposed to happen around you, but through you. Verse 15 says, so you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit, That's pretty cool. To affirm that we are God's children. And since we're his children, we are his heirs. That means that we have an inheritance in him. We receive something that we don't deserve, but it's just part of our relationship with him. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. I should have left out that last verse. That probably isn't. Because we don't really want to do that. Really. So, what is it that we want the Spirit to lead us into today? If you haven't already figured this out, we're going to do things a bit differently today. I'm not going to talk for the next half an hour. We are going to hear from each other what the Holy Spirit has to say. So when I'm teaching, I spend most of the week listening to what God has to say about what he wants to do on a Sunday. I don't know what you think that pastors do all week long about this message time, but it's not like you think. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit all week and wanting to know what he has to say and what he wants to do. So all week long, you have been engaging with God in and out. There have been times when he's led you and times when he's told you what's on his mind. There's times when he's encouraged you. How many of you have had times in the Word this week where something came to life? Well, two. More than that. There's more than that. You've been reading the Word and something just came to life and you were impacted by it. How many of you had a word from the Lord this week? Well, like he just spoke to you and he said, this is how I feel about this. This is what's important. Yeah. So there's people in the room that have had a word from the Lord. So a fresh revelation of these things is what we want the Holy Spirit to lead us into in this room today. If I were teaching today, I would want him to bring a fresh revelation of who we are in Jesus. There's probably nothing more important in the body of Christ right now than that one thing. If we get this, if we get what it means to be in Christ, if we get that, we are more than ready for what God is about to do in this nation, in this city, in this congregation, in our families and stuff. So this really important, and there's some scripture references if you want them. We're not going to go there today, but I just wanted to show you that I actually read the Bible. So who we are in Jesus is a big part of what he wants to do in the room today. He wants us all to embrace and get encouraged by the Word of God. Already we've had three scriptures that have pointed us to things in the Bible that will encourage us and strengthen us. So he wants to do that. I get a little bit nervous when somebody teaches for 45 minutes and doesn't talk about the Word. It's just their stuff. It's just what they want to say. It's just what they're excited about. The Word of God should feed us, not just proof text us. It shouldn't just validate what we want to say, but it should breathe into what we say. And that's what I want. That's what we hope happens today, that the Holy Spirit breathes into the word of God into what happens today. And then the Father's heart. We want to catch a glimpse of what the Father feels like. I think Tracy was saying today, you know, how does he feel about you? That's one of my favorite questions to ask people is, when God thinks about you, what does he think? Do you ever think about that? I mean, has that ever occurred to you to think that way? When God thinks about you, what does he think? What does he think about you, Leslie? What does he tell you when you think that way? He longs for us. Now, where do you think this is coming from right now? It's being stirred up by God, stirred up by the Holy Spirit. It's pretty cool. So, how do we enter this experience together? If we're going to be led by the Spirit today, how do we do it together? How do we approach it together? First of all, we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. Seems pretty clear, huh? Next, listen for his leading. And then third, act upon his leading. So it's not just listening to what he has to say, but it's being moved. I mean, part of, I think, what hit Leslie is she let him hit her. She let him. I mean, there's a point at which the emotions start coming up, and she could have pushed him down, but she didn't, because there was a grace there to let that happen. So, all week long, you've been hearing stuff from the Lord. You've been asking him. You've been struggling with stuff. He's been giving you direction. I just want you to listen for a bit, but I want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and begin to give you a release to share the things that are on your heart. Holy Spirit, you're in charge here. Oh, you're so in charge here. You love us so much, and you want this so much. We ask you to begin to do things in our heart that begin to set us free to be here for each other and for you. Even if it means you have to kind of rewire us a bit, so that we care for each other a little bit more, so that we want the best for each other. So listen. What has he been saying to you this week? So I feel like it's my job to just watch, pay attention to what he's doing, and try to see if we can get us all going the same direction in this river that God has for us right now. So, Leslie, why don't we start with you, since the Holy Spirit was engaging with you. Why don't you come on up and just share what's on your heart? I know. It's because we never do this. Just share whatever's on your heart.
Probably the last couple of weeks, I've just, and I know I've talked about to Tracy about just the power of speaking in tongues, and when we can release our own mind, and we release our mind and our heart to Holy Spirit, and just let him do the talking. And then this morning I was listening, I think they're having a conference or something at Morningstar. And anyway, the students, they spent 4 hours speaking in tongues. And they said, this is what we're going to do. You know, it's the mind of Christ. It's the heart of Christ. It's God's will for our lives. And we don't have to say a word. We don't have to come up with anything. And so I just...
Was the Lord giving you the interpretation of that when she was sharing that word, that tongue? Anybody? Holy Spirit, we love you. This is holy ground. Take your shoes off. Ah, sweet. You're one step ahead, Becca. Sandy, come on up. What's on you? Just share what's on your heart. I'm just looking for, I look back there, and the reason I asked Sandy to come up is because I felt like the Lord was highlighting her. I don't even know if she has anything, but I have a feeling she does.
I've just seen so many people, and mostly in the body of Christ, people that I love and that I care for, that are so hoodwinked by maybe generational things, addictions or habits, and they can't seem to see past it. But what I see through the eyes of the Spirit is the power in them with a calling. They probably have a stronger anointing than most. And the enemy keeps them bound, keeps them down, keeps them reflecting on yesterday's mistakes or the past things that haunt them. But we all possess a holy DNA. The power of God in us. Maybe there are generational blessings, not maybe, there are generational blessings from all of us, from our inheritance, and it may look like there's nothing to you, but it's because they've been left on a shelf. They haven't been redeemed, but we have the ability to rise into all that God has wanted to pass down from generation to generation. There's a history that we can redeem, that we can live out and see the power of God that's changing history for us, for those before us, but especially for those that follow us. But we have to see and believe that there's something that God has placed in us that is redeemable, and we have to believe in the power of His Spirit for us to become. Oh man, I had something on Facebook last night. It was Lisa Bevere, but it's something I read, that it's not who we've been that frightens the enemy or anything in our past, but he is more afraid of who we are becoming. So let's become.
Yeah, that's good. She mentioned reading something. Has anybody been really impacted by the Word of God this week? That you've been reading the scriptures. I wish Jody was out here because she's always doing this. Come on up, Nancy. And just share how you were impacted by the Word this week and what you were impacted by. And you can even read it if you want to.
A couple of things I've been just impressed to. I love the book of Revelation. It's been one of my favorite books. And I just felt like God wanted me to start studying it and write down what my impression is of it. And through that, I mean, I've been at it over 2 weeks, and I'm on chapter 2. But looking up the meaning of words, and I came across one thing. There's so much. The main thing about the book of Revelation is that it reveals the glory of Jesus. It reveals the glory of the risen Christ, the one who rules and reigns in heaven, the one who has victory over the enemy. And that's us. That's the part of us that's alive. The part of him in us that's alive is the victorious Christ, the risen Christ, the glorified Christ. And we have got to get that in our heads and in our hearts, that that's who we are. We're not pushed down. We're not slaves to sin anymore. When we receive Jesus, all that is gone. We have the victory that he got for us. And so we have to live in that. But along with that, a couple other things. I was looking up something about Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam, and what it seems to be to me is a disobedience to the Word of God. When God tells you something, don't keep asking him, have you changed your mind? But be obedient to what he says. And along with that, there was a prophet that came up. He's not named, but before Josiah was born, and he went and made a prophecy about Josiah being born many, many years before. And he was told by God, when you leave, go a different way, don't eat, don't drink. And some other prophet came to him and said, well, I had a dream, and you're supposed to come with me. Well, that caused the other prophet to die because he was disobedient to God's word. So what I get from that is you hear God, and don't you do anything different than what God tells you unless you hear from God again. If somebody can come to say, well, God told me you're supposed to do this. Well, if you haven't heard that, you hear God for yourself. The other thing that I learned was there's a Hebraism for that term, he who has ears, let him hear. And what it means is, if you hear this, you obey. If you hear this, you must obey. And then the other thing was about the parable of the tares. I never really, I understood that partly, but it was explained to me through something I read where when they come to fruition, tares don't bear seed, they stand straight up, and the wheat bears seed and it bows down. And so it's a picture of God's people being humble before God, and the tares, the weeds that the enemy sows, are straight up, proud and standing.
That's good. So we are taught by the word. Lisa, do you have a word? Saw you looking at your phone. Does that mean you were looking at a scripture?
Yeah.
Come on up. Jack, why don't you come up here and just share? Jack's kind of new to Evangel, but we've been praying for a job for him for a while, and he nailed it. The Lord nailed it. So tell him about what's happening. And then Lisa, you can come up and share whatever you're looking at.
I got a new job. It's at Rotor Electrical Steel Foundry. And I've been going to these workplaces that send you out on a job. And neither one of them has found me a good job. And then one day I went to WorkSource, which is just an employment office, and I got on the computer, and the next day the fella called me, and as soon as I went in, he hired me right on the spot with just asked me as soon as I walked in how soon I could start. So it was just a blessing from God. The best thing about it is it's straight days, 7 to 3:30, weekends off. It's fantastic. I'm just so excited. It's just praise God. It was God all the way. Thank you.
The best thing about that is last week Jeff looked at him and said that if anybody spent any time with you when you walked in and they knew who you were, they would give you a job immediately. Right? I mean, that's amazing when people see it for what it really is. When I walked in here today and we started to worship, first of all, the fact that there was space felt like there was room to move. And I felt like it was a word. I felt like it was very much a word that the Lord's saying, there's room for you to move. I'm giving you some space. Use it, right? Okay, and then the next thing that I heard is, as we were worshiping, I heard the Lord say, I'm spinning around here. And I'm inviting you in. I'm inviting you in to the dance. And I felt like, well, I don't really feel like dancing. And I heard the Lord, I'm inviting you into the dance. And I had just come from the marriage retreat where they had these really weird, awkward moments where they told you to stand with your partner and put your arms around them and sway to the music. And Rick isn't somebody who likes to sway. And so it's kind of like standing there with his board, you know, that's just standing there, and you're supposed to be swaying. And I'm like, I'm going to have to be obnoxious to get him to move. And so I'm starting to, you know, really try to get him to sway. And but it's one of those things where it's like the Lord saying, no, I'm inviting you into the dance. I'm inviting you in to move with me. And then this morning, Tracy sent me this scripture. And she sent me the scripture, and I can't see it because I need my glasses. Arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling, and come along with me. And she read that today. But that really is the piece that the Lord was saying. I'm inviting you in to move. Arise, my darling. Hurry, my darling, come along with me. And that's the piece where he's inviting us in to move with him. And when I was spinning around there. I felt like the Lord kept saying over again, I'm just looking for somebody who will come with me. I'm looking for somebody who will join in the dance. That's what I'm looking for. And that's really, it's all an invitation. It doesn't matter. I mean, some of us are really conservative inside. Some of us have been so conservative inside that it's very limiting for us to move. And then some of us have lived in that bondage so tightly at times that when the Lord broke us free, every time that it tries to close in on us again, it's like, no, you know, can't do it. And I heard the Lord say this weekend to me, I did something that I was called to do out of obedience, which I was completely against. And I was mean and voiced it to people who care. And I'm sorry for that. But I heard this weekend the Lord say this word, and I knew it was for me. But while I was sitting there, and then I got up and I started to move with the Spirit, I heard the Lord say it again, and I knew it was a corporate word. The word I heard was, the ambush is over. The ambush is over, you guys. What does that mean to us? That means that there was actually an assignment against us, right? We've been talking about the targets that have been placed on us. We've been talking about, Jeff was heard the Lord that it was time to make us aware of the fact that there's something that's targeted us, but we've also been targeted for good things, right? And he's been trying to communicate that with us. And the Lord was saying, I want you to recognize that all this onslaught that's come against you, that was because there was an ambush that the enemy sent against you, right? But it's over. And there was so much grace that happened the moment that I heard that word. It's like, you know, if you think of what happens with an army and you think of what they do, you know, if you're fighting the bad guy, what are they trying to do? They're going to try to take out the generals, right? They're going to try to take back out the people with the leadership skills or the people who would stand firm and give direction. They're going to try to take those people out, because if you don't have vision, your people perish. If you don't have the ability to understand what you're walking through, people will perish. They'll fall into the traps of the enemy. If he can keep your mouth shut and you won't speak out truth in love, then people will fall into those traps and they'll get caught. But when we will recognize that the onslaught that came against us was to silence us, because he's walked a whole bunch of us through a lot of stuff and started to give us wisdom through the process, right? And he's taken us from point A to point B for a reason. And we learned a lot of things along the way. And he's looking for people who will actually say, now is the time. Now is the time to enter into the dance. Now is the time to come around and let me lead. Now is the time for you to speak up. Because there's a whole bunch of people that believe a lie. You talked about what you saw on Facebook, and a couple of days ago, one of my family members had posted a picture of themselves with their cousin in the 1990s and was longing for that time in the 1990s and just said, I missed that time. And I looked at that picture and I immediately saw the shame that this person felt, right? I saw that. That like the hope that they had when they were that young and who they thought they were going to be. So much had happened in their life that they thought it wasn't, you know, I just have to accept it. And immediately I heard the Lord say very clearly to me, tell them that their future is bright. They have a bright future, that they are just about ready to, you know, just a couple years away from completing college and starting to live their dream. Let them know that there's so much more for them than what they ever knew. And that goes with the word that the Lord had said. The ambush is over. The ambush against their mind that held them trapped was over. And the ambush of our minds to be able to just see that they're falling short instead of going, oh my God, of course, there's so much more for you. There's so much more for you. Look at who you are. No wonder you were so attacked. Look at how you were created. Of course the enemy came against you. But to him who overcomes, back to the book of Revelation, right? And so I really think that that's the season that we're in. But he's asking right now, in the same way, you know, it's awkward to move with the Spirit. It's awkward. It really is. It feels uncomfortable. It feels like you're dancing in that spot, you know? It's really awkward. And it's awkward to do it in front of other people. But he's still looking for people who will lay that down and choose to dance with him.
When your husband plays the drums, he moves around a lot.
That's all I got.
Let's just be still for a sec. Just listen. Listen to what's going on in the room right now. Has anyone been chewing on a specific scripture over and over again this week? Has been chewing on a scripture?
I do.
Yeah? What is it?
I know one. Love your neighbors as yourself. And love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind.
Yeah. That's awesome, Natalie. Yeah. That's awesome, Natalie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just had this feeling somebody was chewing on something this week. Anybody? Come on up, Josiah.
Well, I wasn't reading it. Elijah was reading it. And I was listening to him in there, and she got all upset, and she was basically having a frustrated, and like it was upsetting her that she couldn't understand it was Proverbs 1. And I felt like God was talking about the meat and then the milk. You got to have the milk for like kids. You got to be able to, you know, explain it. It matters, you know, you can't. And once I explained to her, like I read Proverbs 1, and when you read it, it's God saying, you know, I'm going to teach you this, and this is for wisdom, to give you wisdom in your life. And she calmed down, and then we were able to go verse by verse through, you know, a good portion of Proverbs 1, and she could get the analogies, and then, you know, because you kind of have to go slow. Even for me, I have to kind of think about it. And anyway, I just thought that was something that kept coming to mind for me. It was after I explained to her, or after I even just read her, God's explanation of what the idea of what Proverbs, the whole book, the whole section is, then she was like calm enough to think and go through the different scriptures and then kind of wrap her head around the different ideas that God's lining out for us in Proverbs. So
that's good.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's good. Dan, you want to come up for a sec?
I just like your voice. You got a great voice. I want you to hear Proverbs 1 in the Passion Translation. Just verses 2 through, I don't know, you can do whatever you want, but it's amazing. Proverbs 1 is amazing. Prepare yourself to be fed. Here it comes.
Within these sayings will be found the revelation of wisdom and the impartation of spiritual understanding. Use them as keys to unlock the treasures of true knowledge. Those who cling to these words will receive discipline to demonstrate wisdom in every relationship and to choose what is right and just and fair. These proverbs will give you great skill to teach the immature and make them wise, to give youth understanding of their design and destiny. For the wise, these proverbs will make you even wiser. And for those with discernment, you will be able to acquire brilliant strategies for leadership. These kingdom revelations will break open your understanding to unveil the deeper meaning of the parables, poetic riddles, and epigrams, and to unravel the words and to unravel the words and enigmas of the wise. How then does a man gain the essence of wisdom? We cross the threshold of true knowledge when we live in complete awe and adoration of God. Stubborn know-it-alls will never stop to do this, for they scorn true wisdom and true knowledge.
Young people, it's exactly what Josiah was doing. He was doing what it said in wisdom. Teach the immature and make them wise. To give youth understanding of their design and destiny. Ah, cool. I mean, that's right. He was talking about Proverbs 1, but he was also being taught by Proverbs 1. There's a sermon there. There's a message there. Brandon, why don't you come up and share how frustrating it's been to work full-time? Miranda has a heart to do everything God wants her to do, but she's been locked away at Fiber for the last couple weeks.
That's funny that you said that. Because this started about... So I'm going to be talking about Guatemala really quick. This all started about 5 years ago. I was going to become a PE teacher. And so I was taking a class, and I had to interview someone who was in the field that I wanted to go into. So Mr. Newbern, he was my weight training teacher. And so I called him up, was like, hey, Newbern, can I come interview you for my class? And he's like, sure. Come on over. So met him at the school, and we sat down, and I had formulated like 10 questions I had to ask him. The last one was about faith. So if the person you were interviewing, if they were a person of faith, you were supposed to talk to them about your faith. And so we did, and we got to the end, and it was about an hour long interview, and he literally just apologized to me for not... He's like, I'm sorry that I wasn't the man that I was supposed to be while I was teaching you guys. He's like, I was the Christian, you know, I would say I was a Christian, but I wouldn't necessarily act upon that. And in the past 2 years, God had been changing his heart in that way. And him and his, he's telling me everything. He's like, and Holly and I, which was him and his wife, he's like, we want to start this orphanage in Guatemala, and we just don't know. Doors aren't opening. I don't know. But he's like, I just feel the weight of this, and I feel like this is something God wants us to do. And it would mean selling our house, giving up, you know, everything that we've ever known to do this. And so I was like, well, and this was the first time I ever, like, prayed with anyone. I was like, well, can I pray with you? Like, can we pray about this? Because I kind of feel the same way. Like, I want to be a PE teacher, but I still kind of feel like this inkling, and I don't know what to do with my life. So we sat there and prayed for, like, 10 minutes and both, like, bawled together. And about 2 years later, him and Holly ended up starting this orphanage in Guatemala. And now they have their own nonprofit. And the crazy thing was, so then I started working at North Lake Church as a children's pastor, which I didn't even like kids. And I didn't. And I was like, what am I doing here? But Jesus changed my heart for the children, and I've grown to love them very deeply. And I didn't know that I had, like, this passion to share Jesus with people. And so, anyway, I started work at Fiber recently, but I keep getting messages and I keep meeting people from high school who are like, you're going to Guatemala. And I was like, no, why are you asking me this? I'm not going to Guatemala. I don't know why you're asking me this. Just in the past like 2 months, this has happened to me. And so I messaged Mr. Newbern because we had all met. So he came here to fundraise for his nonprofit. He's like, we kind of ran out of money. I'm stepping out in faith, coming here and just hoping the Lord will provide for us. And so I got Jeff and Chris and Mark and a few people together, and we had lunch with Mr. Newbern. And so I was still working at North Lake, and I was going to lead a mission next year to Guatemala. And then I quit working at North Lake, and so I'm like, I don't know what this whole Guatemala thing is. But I messaged Mr. Newbern yesterday because he's like, I don't know, maybe that's why you're not working there anymore, because I got sick. And he's like, maybe it's for full-time missions. I don't know. And he's like, just so you know, the offer's still on the table. And he's going to pay for me to fly down there for a while and just serve with him and his wife and work there. And so I don't know, just this past week, that is exactly what I've been praying about. And I'm thinking about leaving my job and flying down to Guatemala for a few months. I know that's crazy, but the scripture, the scriptures that have been on my mind, so every week, every Sunday, I have life group, and the scripture that we read is Acts 2, 42 through 47. You know, it's just talking about the early church and how they operated as the church and selling all their possessions and just really supporting one another. And we were sitting there and people were like, wouldn't this be so nice to like live in this way? And I'm like, why can't we? Like, why can't we live in this way? Like, why can't I just leave my shop? Like, if this is what Jesus is calling me to, I mean, you know, I think, oh my gosh. The passage is, sorry, Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Wow.
Welcome to the dance.
This is crazy, you guys. This is so cool. Anyway, that's what's been on my heart is this week and this past month. And I don't know, I just love Jesus and want to share him with people because he's changed my life in such a deep and profound way. That's all I have to say.
Oh, yeah. You gotta love the way the Holy Spirit orchestrates life. Somebody want to come up and get this money and give it to, or you can just grab it and take it over there. And if you want to give her more money, you can just go to her. Let's wrap this thing up by doing this. Kevin, why don't you come on up? Kevin has a backyard that you would be blown away by. He and Karen have developed a sanctuary back there. For a while there, we prayed when it was sunny weather, and that will probably happen again someday. But Kevin has this relationship with God in his backyard that I just want him to share a couple of the things that God shares with him while he's back there just spending time with him. And we'll use this as a benediction. I mean, the reality is, you guys, this goes on all the time. I don't know how important this is to Miranda, but this is nothing compared to what's happening in her heart right now. How the Lord engaged with her and just confirmed in her own heart what's happening. But I just want to end with, God is so good. The Father is so good to us, and he treats us so well. And Kevin's really good at paying attention to what the Father says to him while he's roaming around in his backyard. So just tell us some of the things that he shares with you back there.
Well, I don't know if it's so much what he shares with me, but geez, just his friendship, you know? Just the comfort of the Lord and knowing he's with me and just appreciating his creation, you know. It is good. His creation is good. And you can just see his handiwork, and you're watering and a little hummingbird comes up and takes a bath, and when you're spraying, you know, and I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, it's just the kindness of the Lord just when we look to him, just when we think of him. He always draws near, you know, and whether we experience him or not, I know that just when we go, Jesus, holy Jesus, just immediately, instantly, because he's never away. He's always with us. It's just the kindness of the Lord that I love so much.
Can you imagine living this way? You know, living your life this way? Just walking out the front door, leaving your house and saying, I don't know, what do you want to do, Lord? I got an extra hour. Show me where to drive. Show me when to stop. Tell me what to say. Lead me and guide me. It says in that scripture that we read earlier, those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. This is what it's like to be a child of God at church. Not bad, eh? Not bad. All it takes is time, patience, a listening ear, and the willingness to move. Some of you may have heard something today that stirred you up. Move on it today. Have further discussions with God about it. Anything could happen. Let's stand. Lord, we're so fortunate to be yours. Thank you for everything you've shared with us today, the insight you've given us into your world and the world that you have for us. We say yes to you. The best we can, we say yes to you. And for those who have been stirred to action today, we pray for great grace upon their lives, that they'd move out in the things that you've called them to do. They'd follow you wherever you lead. They trust you at deeper and deeper levels. Lord, we're excited about what happened today, but more excited about where we're going with you in the days ahead. And we just say again, which I just love to proclaim over this city and over this congregation, that there's nothing impossible for God. All things are possible, Lord. Amen. Bless you guys. Have an awesome day. An awesome day in the Lord.